The City University of New York was free during the Civil War.
Two economic depressions.
World War One
and two. The invasion of Korea and Vietnam.
And the political, social, and economic conquering of the entire Western Hemisphere.
After 126 years of free tuition for white people.
People of color finally became the majority of the student body in 1976.
Shockingly, this was also the same year in which tuition was first imposed.
Now tuition is being raised again and the budget is being cut again.
On June 16th, the Giuliani, Bloomberg, and Pataki appointed Board of Trustees will be holding a public hearing where we can voice the desire of human rights for our communities to have full access to higher learning.
The CUNY for All Coalition invites the entire population of NYC
to let these gangsters know that power belongs to the people. Reserve your space to speak by calling the Board of Trustees at 212-794-5450.
212-794-5450
before Friday the 13th at 4 p.m., item 4A. Or just show up at the Board of Trustees building at 535 East 80th Street and support the future of the people next Monday, June 16th.
Yo, man, I don't give a fuck what you say, y'all. I don't care what they say. This is all about oil, man. They trying to play people like they make up puppets and shit. Wake up on listening to the bullshit.
I got some things I need to get off my chest.
All right, yo, let's go.
Yo, our elected officials are concerned with real issues. The votes are controlled by the dollars, the lobbyists, backed by corporations and worldwide conglomerates. Pushing propaganda through the columns and news columnists. Every single station report with a bias. Getting paid less for the facts than they do for their silence. When the lies have subsided, the truth starts emerging. Iraqi land divided up for companies like Halliburton. The mini crisis boils down to oil prices. Not weapons of mass destruction, virtues and vices. The difference all about a smoking gun. America's got the largest surplus of all the nuclear devices. This is for the righteous that see through their lies. Keep their eyes on the prize till the day that we rise. It's time to start organizing and preparing our community before the curtains close. In our window of opportunity. True. Got me feeling like Marvin. Makes me wanna holler.
Why?
Cause blacks only make 11 cents off every dollar. Woo. Cops following the unmarked Chevy Impala. Looking to plant evidence and mark firming up their collar. Still we continue to divide ourselves into fractions of factions. While Anglo-Saxons pass the legislation banning affirmative action. Thought it could happen. See the Patriot Act, the New World Order in action. So I suggest everybody better get ready for war. People liable in battle as the A-90. Soviet small arms equipping the proletariat. Millions of people hearing it. Only my soldiers feeling it. The powers that be is fearing it. Wish I would disappear with it. The music make moves like Harriet or Deliverance. Scripted in the stars in the positions of the pyramids. Dipping through dimensions like Hendrix and his experience. To bring forth a message and deliver us from ignorance. Yeah. Listen. A song so long. Time to take it back. Hip hop, hip hop, baby. Speaking the truth, this is how we're supposed to be. Yeah, yeah.
Should I go some more?
Yeah, go a little more for the man.
I'll go a little more.
Speak the truth, brother. Go ahead, yo.
Yo.
Listen, yo. Yo, the future's in test tubes where they making diseases.
Like
sick
what?
As syringes in the sand, washing up on the beaches. Scrape the skin off the fetus to create a prosthesis. Next step experiments, unlocking the double helix. Right now, the fans probably tapping your sneakers. Illegal search and seizures, tender rendered to Caesars. Agents like leeches extracting information.
What?
From the microchips adjacent to the wavelengths encasing. Your corpus callosum, downloaded to the modem. Under the Oval Office, satellites in orbit. Listen for the flag words spoken on your causes. Now somebody tell me why we dying over causes. Making mothers out of daughters and fathers out of sons. I think I'm about to take it back to where I begun.
Yeah, hold it up, man.
Okay. You
that's
can't
all
give
I'm gonna
too
give
much
y'all.
Right now.
It's
you
just a promo.
Just let me say.
Check for the album.
Paradise Lost. Fifth column. Sin Messiah Entertainment. You. Yeah.
That track was by Hassan Salam. Welcome to Student Voices for Peace, Rise Up Radio on WBAI 99.5 FM in New York City, where the in-your-face generation of activists, revolutionaries, guerrillas, what have you, joins the Pacifica family. Student Voices for Peace, Rise Up Radio is a collective radio show by youth activists, about youth activism and stuff, now airing Fridays from 11 a.m. to 12 p.m. Welcome to today's show. I'm one of today's hosts, Slab, and I'm here with Mary, Steven, Aizen, and Chino.
What's up, what's up?
On today's show, we got a great show planned for y'all. With over 2 million people locked behind bars, America ranks number one in the world as a country with the largest number of prisoners and the highest rate of incarceration. As more money goes from education towards prisons, more youth continue to leave schools and enter prison. To discuss this and get more in depth with the prison industrial complex, we are joined in the studio with Tina from the Justice for Youth Coalition and the Prison Moratorium Project. Later on, we will continue our ongoing international youth coverage. England youth activist Oscar Rice will be joining us on the phone to discuss what went down at the G8 Summit in Switzerland and alternative youth media, England style. So stay tuned and enjoy.
Meanwhile, you're dancing to this music and trying to figure out these lyrics. Meanwhile, you're drinking and having fun. Watch out,
the revolution accord.
Revolution accord. Better be a part of the solution. This might be the final confrontation. Better awake to this reality. This is no time to lose your sanity. Cause by the ballot or the bullet, by the Bible or the gun, any which way, freedom must come. By the ballot or the bullet, by the Bible or the gun, any which way, freedom must come. Killing the children in sweater, turning El Salvador into one big ghetto, dumping waste on sea and land, building an arsenal of nuclear weapons, oppressing the Asians, bombing in Iran, troops in Afghanistan. There must be a solution, a revolution. By the ballot or the bullet, by the Bible or the gun, any which way, freedom must come. By the ballot or the bullet, by the Bible or the gun, any which way, freedom must come. Now you kill I today, you can't kill I tomorrow. Today for you, tomorrow you're in sorrow. Revolution for the poor, a change must come. Either by the Bible or by the gun, a change must come, a change must come. By the ballot or the bullet, by the Bible or the gun, any which way, freedom must come. By the ballot or the bullet, by the Bible or the gun, any which way, freedom must come. Ideology won't bring about the solution. Now turn to your Psalms in the Bible and show me your AK-47. Come make me fight oppression. Come make me find a solution. Come make me fight oppression. Come make me start a revolution. There must be a solution, a revolution.
Welcome back to Rise Up Radio on WBAI. Right now we're joined by Chino from the Justice for Youth Coalition and the Prison Moratorium Project to discuss the prison industrial complex and its effects on youth in society. So Chino, there are over 2 million people in jail and prison in the U.S. That's what the highest amount in the industrial world.
Yep.
So tell us about it. Tell us, like, what are you doing about it? Like, what's going on?
Well, specifically within New York,
What the Justice for Youth Coalition is trying to ensure that New York City does not put more money into incarcerating young people, whether that's locking them up or building more juvenile detention facilities. Prison Moratorium Project locally and nationally works on stopping the expansion of the prison industrial complex. And we believe the prison industrial complex is not the cell in itself or the prison in itself. It's everything that causes people to commit crime and everything that and everything else as far as the DA, the cops, that puts people in prison.
Totally. So can you tell us about experiences in your life and how that has gotten you involved in this sort of work and how that's affected you?
Well, I joined Prison Moratorium Project 2 years ago now as a youth intern working for the summer, and that's just when the Justice for Youth Coalition and the campaign had just kicked off. I was at the initial meetings of that. And I joined and I stayed because I've been locked up not only once or twice, but I've been locked up 16 times and incarcerated. When I say incarcerated 8 times, I mean I did more than 3 days inside jail. And you know, Prison Moratorium Project just started breaking down all the root causes of why, you know, people go to jail and why, you know, the industrial complex is like it is and the things that lead up to that and how it breaks down into imperialism and racism and slavery continuously over again.
Chino, you've been locked up 16 times?
Yep.
Wow, when you get to know you, you would never imagine that really at all. Recently, the Russell Simmons held that thing in City Hall against the Rockefeller drug laws. What did PMP, what did they have to do in all that mix?
PMP was heavily involved when Drop the Rock first kicked off, but as far as with the rally that Russell had, one of my coworker Boo was supposed to speak, but you know how it goes when you got a lot of celebrities. They let all the big wigs go first before they let the people on the ground doing the work. So, I mean, it was dope, and I think a lot of young people came out, but if you just have a place where, or a rally where it's a lot of superstars and politicians talking about Rockefeller drug laws, and there's no follow-up or no place or organization to plug those young people in, then it's useless. It's just for the show, and you can do it. I mean, if you're going to do something, put some money into some organizations that's on the ground doing this work every day, and let's pay young people to do this work.
That's crazy. Mm-hmm. They really pushed Blue off? That's insane.
They didn't push him off, but, you know, I mean, it was just hectic backstage as far as I understood. It was real hectic. And, you know, he had a prior engagement that he had to go to, and it was letting all the big cats talk first and, you know, stuff like that. So he was just like, yo, I gotta go do me right now.
The way it was described to me was that the rappers basically didn't even know what they were talking about.
Definitely. Jay-Z got up and said, yeah, what's the difference between a 25 and a 9 and both guns? Now, I can see if you're against the Rockefeller drug laws, I mean, if you're for the Rockefeller drug laws, how that analogy works. But if you're against them, I don't really see the correlation, you know? And like, I mean, yo, man, a lot of them kids, all they can chant was like, yo, bad boy, Jay-Z. They wasn't even really hearing what a lot of folks were saying.
And the New York One coverage of it was ridiculous. They interviewed the children, and they would go, do you even know what the Rockefeller drug laws are? And the girl was like, no.
Exactly.
They even admit they were there for the celebrities.
Exactly. That's the point.
Could you break down what the Rockefeller drug laws are for us? Because I don't know about it.
Mm-hmm. In 1973, Nelson Rockefeller was the governor of New York, and he instated the Rockefeller drug laws, which mandates that anybody get caught with 2 to 3 ounces of a controlled substance like crack or cocaine, mandated to do 15 years in prison. That's without judge discretion. So what that means is, even if the judges say, hey, you know what, you're a nice kid and you've never been locked up, I'm going to give you 2 years. He can't do that. Mm-hmm. He's mandated to give them 15 years. So what that does is, I mean, the whole purpose you know, the whole jargon behind how the Rockefeller drug laws got in place was to catch the big pins, the kingpins who deal drugs. But the bottom line is that it ain't no kingpins in jail. You know what I'm saying? So what the Rockefeller drug laws, in essence, does is disproportionately confine a huge population for nonviolent offenses and drug users. And it was used as another tool to entrap black and Latino folks in prison.
I just say that I think if you actually wanted to actually fight drugs, one of the most effective ways would be actually to imprison the bankers that, like, clean the money for the actual drug dealers. That would be 10 times more effective than actually targeting, like people in the streets.
Yeah, they should do the prison labor.
I don't know about that. I'm a prison abolitionist, but, you know, I mean, okay. If you really want to fight...
Well, I mean, like given the current constraints, I mean...
Yeah, given the current constraints, then, you know, you got to fight the government, because how do you think these drugs get in this country? Mm. They don't magically appear over here, you know? Shaniqua and Taiwan, you know what I'm saying, don't bring nothing over here. So, you know, if you want to be real about it, I mean, the drugs come in this country because the government lets it, you know? And then they put so much money into, like, fighting other countries and killing folks who are just trying to grow crops. They don't even be growing drugs, but they kill them, too.
In terms of human rights, in terms of, like, access to education and jobs, like, what's it like for prisoners?
Well, in prison, your access to education is very, very limited. You know, a couple of years ago, a lot of, like, upper middle class folks was like, look, I'm paying all this money for my kid to go to college, and, you know, these prisoners go to college for free. So then they cut the college out of prison. And, you know, the schools are very, very remedial. They're underfunded. They're under resources. What little schools they do have in prison, as far as, like, different programs and whatnot, is very limited, you know. And the content is very, very small. It doesn't really give you any real education and any real life skills to go out and, you know, become a productive member of society. And even if you do have a college degree, if you have a felony following behind that college degree, man, that means nothing, you know, because nobody likes to hire a felon. So even when you supposedly pay your debt to society and you want to go to school and all that other stuff, then, you know, it's still a wrap because they don't want to hire a felon. And suppose you get out of prison and you don't have any education, you say, look, I'm going to go to college. I'm going to try to do what's right now. Because you have a felony, you're denied, you know, public funds to even acquire a college degree. You don't get any financial aid. They won't give you that because you're a convicted felon.
That's really sad. I know a lot of college graduates that are, like, working as waiters. And you can't. And there's people out there that can't even get a college degree.
Mm-hmm.
This is really bad.
Yep. Wow.
Before you said that you were a prison abolitionist, could you talk about like what that means for people who aren't familiar with that and what some alternatives to incarceration are?
Well, for me, prison, I'm a prison abolitionist, and I basically believe that the prison system works. And when I say work, don't be shocked. I mean, it works. It does exactly what it was set out to do, to lock up a whole lot of brown folks. And I'm not feeling that. So I don't believe in prison as the cells. I don't believe in police. I don't believe prosecuting and punishing people. I believe getting to the root causes of why people commit crimes and, you know, why these things happen and start fixing it like that. I believe if you just lock somebody up and throw away the key, they're going to turn into exactly how you treat them, like an animal. And it's exactly how they treat folks in prison. Yeah.
Well, with the lack of access to education and how they're treated inside the prison when they're released, what options are given to them by the system that has locked them in for so long? Mm-hmm.
No options, really. They give you, $3.50 and let you out at midnight and send you on your way, and that's it, you know. And if you're on parole, then they make you jump through a crazy amount of hoops just to keep your freedom, you know. Mandated drug programs, mandated this, mandated that, come see me. If you step out of line, that's a wrap, and I write my name on this paper, and your freedom is gone. And that's how simple it is. My brother right now is struggling to deal with his PO and do all of the hoops that, you know, his parole officer wants him to do. And the alternative to incarceration programs that you had asked earlier about are basically, you know, ways for specifically the young people to, instead of having them go into prison or juvenile detention, to put them back in the community and, you know, learn some skills and deal with the issues that they're dealing with instead of just locking them up.
I have the sticker on my computer. I don't remember the exact number, but I remember there was a comparison of how much it costs to educate someone for a year versus how much it costs to imprison them. I remember looking, thinking it was like just shocking. Do you remember what the numbers are?
Yeah, to educate one young person in New York City costs about $9,000. To keep one young person locked up, $9,000 for a year, for a semester. To keep one young person locked up for a year, it costs over $130,000 to keep them locked up for a year. I mean, with that money, you can go to college twice, right?
Wow.
That's
what I mean, you know, if they gave the young people that money from the jump, maybe they wouldn't commit the crime, right?
Yeah. We're all working two jobs to go to school. Mm-hmm. And then for what? To be waiters.
Yep.
You know, we need to take the people out of the prisons, educate them, empower our peoples. Five to Dada movements need to unite.
Yeah, definitely it's too many people locked up in prison, but that doesn't count everybody who's on probation or parole, you know, within this country. So the figure is highly higher than just 2 million if you count everybody that's on parole and probation.
Well, I visited your site the other day, and I found out that back in 1975, the jump from youth in education in comparison to youth in prison, there was a big increase in youth in prison in 1975.
Mm-hmm.
That's amazing.
Yeah. Every dollar that goes out of education goes directly into prison. And, you know, the city officials, I mean, the elected officials won't tell you that. But if you look at the numbers, the basic numbers, every money that doesn't go into education goes directly into prison. So if you don't have any youth programs and you don't have any community centers and the kids don't have any youth apartment and they don't have any education, what else are they going to do? They're going to get locked up. And if you keep making laws that criminalize young people more and more every day, of course they're going to get locked up, because even when they're not doing anything, they sit around and make laws and make, when they're not doing anything, a crime. You know, back in the days, a young person used to get caught smoking a little marijuana joint. They get a little summons, stuff like that. Now you got to go through this whole system, and it's on your record. Some kids are getting 15 days on Rikers for smoking a marijuana joint. I mean, give me a break. You know, that's how we going to spend the taxpayers' money. Instead of, you know, make sure he go to school for 15 days, we're going to put him in prison for 15 days. Now he's stressed out, so what you think the first thing he going to do when he get home? Smoke another joint. You know what I'm saying?
Oh,
so,
really?
Like, you know, it's a redundant, ridiculous system that doesn't work and it never will work. I mean, unless you start getting young people involved in the political process and really listening to them and start truly investing in education and ATIs, it'll never work.
Last I checked in the late 90s, it was like, what, I think 82% of the people in prison in this country were nonviolent drug offenders.
Yep.
What's that statistic like today? Is it just still the same?
That's wrong, still the same.
Yeah.
You know, it just occurred to me that when they started, you know, having an increase in prisons in 1975 of prison youth, that's also when time, like when they imposed tuition on CUNY, 1976.
Yeah, no.
What's up with that?
It's they're united in attacking our peoples, and they do it in all ways: prisons, education. I remember seeing some night purge statistic that in 1995, it was penny for penny, the money that went from education went right into prisons.
Mm-hmm.
Penny for penny.
Well, exactly. I'm guessing if you look at the thing with CUNY and the thing with prisons, that all of it is a response to, like, all the struggles that occurred in the late 60s and the gains that were made and how basically measures that were used to, like, basically, like, beat that back. Would that be sort of like... like a rough interpretation of that? Or like
you think so?
I mean, I guess so. I mean, the 60s is bad too. I mean, they was just shooting cats in the street instead of putting them in prison. You know what I'm saying? It's not like there wasn't no brown and black folks in prison then. But, you know, prison is also about profit. They profit off of, like, keeping brown and folks of color locked up. I mean, the majority of people of color who get locked up at East Flatbush and get sentenced to state time do their time in upstate facilities, which are mostly rural upstate New York State facilities. And, you know, they get counted in the census as being a member of that community. So all the money that's supposed to go to the community where they're from end up going to that rural upstate community. Now, I'm not saying rural upstate shouldn't eat, but they can't eat off the backs of my people, no. You know what I'm saying? So, I mean, it's all a profit. And then, you know, you got to look at, like, all these prisons in the country that the prisoners make things. They make chairs. They make dolls. They make all type of things, clothes, everything. They profit off of that. The companies that come in and say, you know, instead of paying somebody a livable wage, which is like, you know, $12, $14 or whatever, they tell a prison, look, we'll pay $5 per inmate to do this work. And the prison be like, okay, and we'll pay 30 cents per inmate so you could do this work. So everybody gets a cut except for the prison. So what ends up happening is that all these prisoners end up making all these things and making no money off of that. And still, when they get released, they can't even get a job with the company they was making stuff for in prison.
That's
wild.
I remember Con Edison made my friend who was locked up climb this thing that was about 4 stories up in the air to do with a rivet gun. Big, heavy, like 60-pound rivet gun. And he was making 10 cents an hour.
10 cents?
And
then they make you buy
stuff. And he didn't
want
to do it. They said they would put him in solitary if he did it.
Mm-hmm. And then they make you buy their products in prison, like their soaps and, you know, their toothpastes and all of these other things. I mean, you know, they even clothes, you know, like as far as like, well, you know, things that you they say you must have. So you really don't have, you know, any alternatives but to do what they do, or like you said, be, you know, in solitary confinement, which ain't no joke either, because you're already in solitary confinement. Mm.
So what is the Justice for Youth Coalition up to these days?
The Justice for Youth Coalition, first let me just say a little bit about what we are. We're a coalition of young people and adult allies and community-based organizations, former prisoners, prisoner families, you know, community members, all that, who came together last year around $64.6 million that was allocated in the budget to expand 2 detention facilities by 100 beds each. And we organized around that, and we got 53 of that 64 pulled out of the capital budget. So bottom line, we stopped 2 detention facilities, which is Crossroads and Horizons, from having 100 beds added on to them. Right now, we're in the process of trying to close Spofford. Spofford is a notorious juvenile the facility that was built in the 1950s that is notorious for rape, assaults, you know, the building is just caving and all of these things that the city had promised to close when it built the 2 new facilities I just mentioned. So now the city uses Spofford, a.k.a. Bridges, as an intake facility. So say for young kids get locked up in Brooklyn, they got to go all the way up to the Bronx to be intake to come all the way back to down in Brooklyn. Some folks might say, oh, well, that's not that bad. At least they get to get outside. But the bottom line is that leaves more access for a child to be lost in the system. Because, you know, they're traveling all throughout the system, so that leaves them access to be lost in that system. And plus, the 2 other facilities are under capacity, and they promised to close Spofford and, you know, build a community center, you know, in that area where Spofford is, specifically the building of Spofford. So we're in the process of trying to make sure the city closes down Spofford and doesn't renovate it and stuff like that. And tomorrow we're having up in the Bronx on 153rd, between 3rd Avenue and Bergen. Quick plug, the Justice for Youth Coalition 2003 Jail Free Street Fair, where there's going to be rides, there's going to be games, food, performances, you know, speakers, basically, you know, to really get the young people in the Bronx on board about, you know, educating themselves around juvenile justice issues, to come together to make sure that, you know, the Department of Juvenile Justice really listens to us and closes down this notorious facility.
So maybe any contact numbers for anybody that wants to get a hold of you guys?
Yep. Oh. You can email me at Chino, C-H-I-N-O, at nomoreprisons.org, or you can call the Justice for Youth Coalition at 718-260-8805.
Before we close up, I just wanted to ask one more last question.
Go for it.
Chino's Chino. I know you guys came out with that No More Prison CD in 1999 through Raptivism. What's Up with Part 2? And I think Russell Simmons sincerely owes you guys an apology because you're the ones in the front lines. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Not Def Jam.
Definitely.
And so what's up with No More Prisons Part 2? When's that coming out?
We're in the process of getting it together. It is so hard, like, you know, getting artists to donate material and time, you know what I'm saying? So we're in the process of putting that CD together, and it should be out soon, hopefully. And as far as Russell Simmons, we don't want an apology. We want some money. You know, give an apology. Give us some dough to do this work.
That's right. Yeah, that's right. No, Dan, thanks for stopping by. You know, if you want to hang out with us the rest of the show, that'd be great. Before we head out for a music break, I just want to announce a public hearing by the council member James Davis, the chair of Juvenile Justice Subcommittee, representatives from the Department of Justice, Juvenile Justice, and the Union for Staff at Spofford will be speaking Friday, June 20th at 10 a.m. at City Hall. So it's important to get our message out at the pros and the cons of alternatives to detention and the cons of locking up youth at Spofford. So it's time to speak at 250 Broadway, across the street from City Hall, the 14th floor.
Quickly, we talked to James E. Davis, and, you know, we told him it was kind of foul to have this meeting at 10 o'clock in the morning while kids are in school. So he pushed it back to 12, which is not that much later, but it's definitely, you know, later than 10. So y'all people who are hearing me, come out and support and definitely get involved.
And for more info, that number is 212-254-5700. And come on out and support our youth.
This piece is called I Analyze. I wrote this when I was in the Navy for a very short period of time. But anyway, here we go. Government officials obtained my last name and initials as well as SSN to press stress pins deep into my soul while mental landlords seek rent, lack of justice coexist with the suffice of unequal treatment. I analyze while niggas pull triggers on brothers and fantasize about the revolution, and while Scientologists converse with political apologists to develop theoretical concepts of my evolution, I analyze that niggas there looking for prostitution was just on the other side of the street looking all humble and neat selling bean pies, and the brother in church singing how he's so saved was just on the block with the mean eyes talking about who he gonna take to their grave. And in between lies, the revolution remains untelevised through the same niggas with triggers remain in vain and fantasize. I analyze that the government is over Nubians like horses trying to get you to join their armed forces, and if you're cultured when you get in, you don't fit in, and so they sit in attempt to wax your mentals, destroying your physical and quickly composing documents labeled accidental. See, they are hating me because I'm of African descent, proud, intelligent, and aware of their civil lies. But most importantly, they are hating me because I analyze ex-brothers sit obediently, awaiting that main ingredient, see, and their little black tails wag. Because sit nigga was the norm, and sister won't conform, and standing these nails nag my hands. See, I am like these parasites set up for fairer rights, which I am so unquestionably entitled to. Uncle Sam looks at me like a crook, you see, and says, someone lied to you. And when he turns around, old honest Abe gives Sam a high five. They jive and jive, and I didn't expect Colin Powell's hand to rise, but it did, and as it did, I analyzed. They are telling me how not to wear my hair. My untamed African kinks run so freely over my head, and so they stare. My culture has no place in their prestigious military. You see, my soul they want to control so they can clump it in some cemetery. And as they plot and despise, I plot and I analyze. And as I bleed, Martin Luther King tells me to turn the other cheek, telling me it will be fine if only I remain weak and meek. I analyze them psychiatrically. And all these fed-up pseudo-sisters all have my back, you see, when I speak of the revolution. But when it's time for everything to get started, they become shook-hearted, and like the last poets were saying, they tell me, we were just playing. And so they continue to get played with, spiritually, mentally, economically molested. And I analyze as they sleepwalk through the cultural hell they themselves manifested. And my people are right before my eyes just being tested. Sister, I know you're blind, but if you can hear me, please answer me. How is it that just yesterday you were canceled free when you were a civilian? And though I am shedding light like a pavilion, they are happily confused and refuse to reside anywhere besides the land of lies in which they fantasize, and all I can do is analyze.
Station.
It's an absolute paradise of music, art, and pure enjoyment.
Here on WBAI.
James will be there. And Mario. Only they'll be safe.
We hope you're enjoying yourself on a Friday night. This is music, or I should say hip-hop, in its most raw,
this
grassroots element.
Catch that. Let's do it.
It's grassroots.
Somebody
element.
Get a lunchroom table.
I plugged you in, though. Yeah, no doubt. Man, this is what it's about. Hip hop don't stop, and if you keep the manifestation coming through, I'm trying not to save a nation, but I'm trying to save my Haitians from this world order, from this new world order. They got your daughter, they got your sons trying to pick up the guns. Ain't nobody coming through, gotta pick up and run. Give them a slum, everybody live in the slums. You ain't the rich, so you not Republican. Coming through without the Democratic slave and a son. Coming through when everybody got the slave and a son. You got the 4/5, got a slave and a son. Everybody got this, my emancipation. Not free, not free, not me, not I. Not free, not free, not me, not I. Not free, not free, not me, not I. Not free, not free, not free, not I. That's how we do into the improvisational. That's how we do, cause it's improvisational.
That was, two tracks from the infamous Movement in Motion. If you don't know them, keep searching. Movement in Motion. I was the improvisational.
What's up? We have some announcements for you, so get that pen and paper handy. On Monday, June 16th, from 3 to 7 p.m., the first annual South Africa Youth Day celebration in New York will be held at Cretona Park, the Bronx, in conjunction with Bronx Week, Juneteenth, and the UN World Refugee Day. The festivities will include speakers, music, activities for youth, such as mural painting, crafts made from recycled materials, a poetry slam workshop, singing of traditional South African freedom songs, and videos and about the history about the Soweto Uprising. That's a lot of stuff. The Youth Day was founded as a commemoration of the Soweto Uprising of 1976 and is celebrated as a major holiday in South Africa. That day saw the peaceful demonstration of youth in the streets to protest the dominance of the African's language and poor conditions in the schools. The events turned tragic, and over the next few weeks, hundreds of unarmed students were killed by security forces, bringing international attention to the apartheid regime. In today's democratic South Africa, Youth Day is a celebration of the power of young people to transform the world that they live in. For more information on the event, contact Heidi Williams at Heidi, H-E-I-D-I, at June16.org.
Since the beginning of this year, 13 people have been killed by the NYPD, and since September 11, 2001, 37 people have been killed by the NYPD, and 59 have been killed by law enforcement in the metropolitan area. This past Saturday, activists and past Student Voices for Peace guest Juanita Young, mother of Malcolm Ferguson, who was slain by the NYPD, was arrested and brutalized by the NYPD. Police continue trying to intimidate families of those killed by law enforcement who speak out against police brutality. This is an invitation to all of New York, concerned individuals and representatives of organizations called for by the October 22nd Coalition to Stop Police Brutality, Repression, and the Criminalization of a Generation. On June 14th at 4 p.m. at Project Reach, located at 1 Orchard Street, there will be an emergency discussion on police brutality and what needs to be done about it. For more information, contact October 22nd Coalition at 1-888-NO-BRUTALITY or check out their website at www.unstoppable.com/22. That's www.unstoppable.com.
On June 14th, tomorrow, from 12 to 6, at Military Park in Newark, New Jersey, located at Broad Street and Park Place, there's going to be a rally, march, and all sorts of events planned by New Jersey Peace Action in conjunction with the Green Party, the ACLU, and all the general, the usual suspects. If you want information on that, you can contact Duane at 973 674 1431 or Steve Bernhardt at 973-762-3682. There should be a BAI table there.
Great. Next Friday, June 20th at 8 p.m. at the Brett Forum, located 122 West 27th Street between 6th and 7th Avenue on the 10th floor, a benefit for New York Youth Block, the citywide high school student coalition for peace, justice, and youth power, will be held. The block party will feature the best in revolutionary culture. Immortal Technique will be there, Sabak from Nonfiction, Red Clay, K-Swift and New Rap Order, DJ Black Cat, and there will also include... Sorry, and there will also be the poetry open mic session with young poets from Urban Word, and refreshments will be served. The cost of the event is less than a movie ticket and more entertaining.
Tonight at 8 p.m. at ABC Noria, which is 156 Brewington Street, there's going to be a party for the release of Tension Between Humans, a collection of allegories involving hipster friendships, dog walks, that revelations, and bicycle accidents by Spencer Sunshine, who is a student at CUNY and a member of the Free CUNY Collective. So that's going to happen at 8 to 10, and there's going to be a readings by Spencer and two other people. So if you want more info about that, you can go to abcnorio.org. And as one final note, there have been some unconfirmed rumors that this Sunday at 6:45 p.m. the Staten Island Ferry, something will happen with Flying Pirates. I don't know anything about it, but if you want to go there and see pirates, you are fully encouraged to go. So that's all. So is our guest on the line?
The City University of New York was free during the Civil War,
two economic depressions,
World War One,
and two, the invasion of Korea and Vietnam,
and the political, social, and economic conquering of the entire Western Hemisphere.
After 126 years of free tuition for white people,
people of color finally became the majority of the student body in 1976.
Shockingly, this was also the same year in which tuition was first imposed.
Now tuition is being raised again, and the budget is being cut again.
On June 16th, the Giuliani, Bloomberg, and Pataki appointed Board of Trustees will be holding a public hearing where we can voice the desire of human rights for our communities to have full access to higher learning.
The CUNY for All Coalition invites the entire population of NYC to let these gangsters know that power belongs to the people.
Reserve your space to speak by calling the Board of Trustees at 212-794-5450.
212-794-5450 before Friday the 13th at 4 p.m. Item 4A. Or just show up at the Board of Trustees building at 535 East 80th Street and support the future of the people next Monday, June 16th.
It's really important for New York to come through to that. And, well, I'll break it down right now. If we get enough speakers, it'll let them know that the resistance is still there and alive. And even if you don't want to speak, please show up. Again, that number is, this is the Board of Trustees phone number. 212-794-5450 to speak on item 4A. They will be voting to raise the tuition on the students of CUNY. Pataki initially proposed $1,200 to be raised annually for each student. The legislator kind of lowered it down to $800 a year, $300 for the community students, and the immigrant students, it's incredible. They're already, like, I think above $3,000. Pretty much anyone from, like, out of this country who wants to go to school, who's in the working class, it's impossible. Unless you're very wealthy from another country, you won't be going to school here. Mm. And there's half of the people I know will be dropping out. The student movement will die, and it's already dying. Please, you have till 4 p.m. today to call to speak and let them know that New York City won't allow these rich people to take away our education and throw us away in prisons. Again, that number is 212-794-5450 to speak on item 4A. The Board of Trustees is located at 535 East 80th Street, next to the East River. Thank you.
Thanks a lot, Slav. No doubt. We're now joined on the phone from England with Oscar Rise, an anti-war youth activist that was detained for his involvement in the G8 summit. We'll be discussing this and the repressive actions by his government towards alternative youth media. Hi, Oscar. Are you there?
Yeah, I am. Hi.
Hey, what's up? How you doing?
Yeah, not too bad.
Tell us a bit about yourself. What organizations are you involved with over there in England?
Okay, well, I mean, I've been involved in quite a lot of stuff with the student anti-war movement. I mean, the main thing we did during the war, we set up a collective from different universities to do direct actions against the war. So we would go, for example, I mean, we sort of fly-posted the underground, or we took our demonstrations outside sort of mainstream papers, which were printing propaganda and this kind of stuff. And then we also, I mean, through that sort of direct action sort of network, became involved actually in a No War Radio Collective that we set up then.
I understand you also attended the G8 Summit. Could you tell us what happened over there and your experience?
Yeah, we ended up in Lausanne, which was one of the venues where most of the blockades were taking place. And we were with the Pink and Silver Bloc, which is the kind of carnival and sound systems and non-violent demonstrations against that. And what happened with that is that we went and we tried to blockade the G8 Summit. And we were basically sort of forced back then by a lot of tear gassing. The police were really quite out of control. And they pushed us and the other demonstrators out of town and back to the campsite where we were staying at, which is a legally established campsite. And then they surrounded that campsite with maybe about 800 people in it and demanded an identity check. They said, we want to check everyone's identity. To which we responded, well, a lot of people don't have papers here, they're not staying here, or they just don't have papers, simply. And so they demanded their check, and they started taking people away, not arresting us, not accusing us of any crime, just taking us away. And they took people maybe in groups of 20, they handcuffed everyone with plastic cuffs, and then took us away on police vans, military vans, out of the town. I mean, I got taken in one of these vans, we passed through various locations, and ended up in a civilian bunker, which was this underground bunker on a mountainside, which was basically a concrete bunker with a cage, sort of, and we were put in the cage, kind of like animals, about 40 men in my cage, about 8 meters by 8 meters or something, and similar cages for sort of women, four cages in this complex. They didn't accuse us of any crime. They just sort of detained us there for several hours. We weren't allowed to call to a lawyer. We weren't given food, and we weren't really told why we were being detained there. So in short, that's what happened.
Wow.
Oscar, ask you, what's the press like where you are? Because I remember I was watching the news over here. There was about maybe 30 seconds on what was happening during the G8, and I think every other word was like violence protesters. Like there was no discussion of what actually happened or what the demands were. It was like this mantra, like violence, 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 violence.
No mention of the cages, right?
Well, of course not.
I mean, it was the same. I mean, in the British press, I mean, when I got back, sort of looked through and people told me about it, and again, it was similar. There was a bit of mention of violence, but of course, violence in that sense means like our violence or supposed violence, even though we were non-violent protesters, it doesn't mean the police violence. They don't sort of consider that. But actually, it was just largely ignored in the British press. I mean, Swiss press was slightly different, and they had to contend with the fact that two demonstrators were very seriously injured. Actually, one demonstrator and one journalist were very seriously injured by the police. And then also the fact that they tried to detain about 400 people in the end that they detained illegally. So in Swiss press, where we were, it was actually sort of slightly different because they had to contend with these awkward facts, if you like. But yeah, I mean, it's as with all the anti-summit protests, the way the press reports it is it reports that we are just violent protesters and that we are, destructive, if you like, and doesn't actually give us a voice anyway to say, well, what it is we're demanding, why we consider the GA to be illegitimate.
Wow. I heard that you had a radio show over there, something like our show, I guess, about students for youth activism.
Yes.
What happened with that?
Well, what happened with that? It was part of this wider sort of No War Radio collective. There's an interview in a magazine with some other people involved in this collective, not the students, but just people who were against the war, to which the radio authority, I mean, they picked up on this. And they basically wrote a letter to the station saying, well, we hear you're doing this No War Radio, and you can't do it. It's not allowed because in the law, you can't have political radio or radio that engages in issues of political controversy on current public policy as a sort of direct phraseality. Because their perception is that impartiality needs to be preserved. Of course, when people are saying, well, support our troops, support the war, meaning support the war, that doesn't count as being political. But from our point of view, they said, well, no, that's political, you can't have it. And because the station we're broadcasting on, a station called Resonance, which is a community art station, but it also has, I mean, what is the very small independent radio sector here in London, so basically Snow War Show and also Indie Media. And because they're in quite a precarious position, they, because they're applying for a new license from the same authority which has made a complaint against them, they pulled these shows off the air, the No War Radio and also the Indie Media Show, which actually had nothing to do with the No War Radio anyway. And they just pulled them because they said, well, it's too risky for us to do this because we could get our license taken away. So it was taken off. I mean, subsequently now we've got a different show on that station which we got back, but that's another story.
Well, if you have an FTP program and you would like to send segments over here for us to play, I'm sure we would love to play some updates.
Yeah, that would be very good. Likewise.
That's great. So, what's the name of the show now, and how can we access it over here in the U.S.? Can we access it on the web?
Yeah, I mean, there's sort of two things. I mean, the No War Radio Collective now, the people involved in that have... we've now got another show which is called rather bizarrely and like Ice Cream Soda Claws. It was originally one of the people involved in the collective Soda Claws. It was one of the people involved in the collective had this sort of more conceptual show, and he's now given it over, but it's still some kind of political programming, and it's on www.resonancefm.com, and the show streams from there. It's on a Friday at 5 till 6:30 UK time, which is 5 hours ahead of New York time right now. And then we also have, we're setting up now this sort of student action radio, which we're going to syndicate to student stations here, which is coming out of this No War thing. But that's not going to be established probably and on the web until about October. It's going to be www.studentactionradio.org, but that's not up yet because we're still making the site.
Well, thank you so much, Oscar. Unfortunately, our time is pretty much out right now, but we invite you to contact us, and we can work together on future projects, hopefully.
Yeah, that'd be cool. Okay, thanks a lot.
Thanks a lot. Good luck over there.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Well, it's time to be out. Thanks to all of our guests, our engineer, Eisen, our producers, the Free Radio Youth Collective, and to Youth Lab, as always, bringing us the best in underground and conscious joints. If you are interested in our show or want to speak to any of our guests or just want to throw down some feedback and give us a ring over here at 212-209-2948. You've been listening to Student Voices for Peace, Rise Up Radio, where the in-your-face generation of activists joins the Pacifica family on WBAI 99.5 FM in New York City. Listen to sponsored corporate-free community radio, where your host, Mary Butterfly.
I'm Slab.
And Steve.
Till then, peace, love, and all that good stuff.
Pop Star Engineer Eisen.
No doubt. We out. रंग दे बसंती चोला माए रंग दे मेरा रंग दे बसंती चोला माए रंग दे मेरा रंग दे बसंती चोला रंग दे रंग दे बसंती चोला माए रंग दे मेरा रंग दे मेरा रंग दे
दुनिया को बदलाने के लाल चले हैं माए रंग दे सब तेरी लाज बजाने मर के कैसे जीते हैं इस दुनिया को बतलाने तेरे लाल चले हैं माए अब तेरी लाज बचाने आजादी का शोला बन के खून रगों में डोला मेरा रंग दे मेरा रंग दे बसंती चोला माए रंग दे मेरा रंग दे